Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you. Jesus, this morning, and the last song when we finish up today, we'll sing "Amazing Grace" because that's what makes all this That's what makes all of this possible is the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, and that we are saved. And so today we're going to be back in Romans chapter 5. Remember, last week we talked about the first four reasons we ought to be thankful we know Christ, or four reasons why we should trust Christ, and we said we had 11 of them. I don't know if I'm going to finish up today, but if not, we'll finish up sometime later, maybe the Christmas Eve service. But we talked about, first of all, we have peace with God because we have trusted Christ. We've been legally declared righteous with God, and at that point we have peace with God. The Bible says we are enemies and sinners before we know Christ. And then he says, secondly, we have access to God by faith, that we are able to come into the very presence, the very throne room of God, and to speak to Him and talk to Him and cry out to Him and give Him our deepest hurts, our deepest needs, and to pray to Him, and He intercedes for us. And then thirdly, we talked about we had a standing. We had this grace in which we stand. We have a permanent, secure position. We can stand before God, not be ashamed, because He has wiped out all of our sins. He has taken all of our sins away. As the Bible says, He has thrown them behind our back. He has thrown them in the depths of the sea. He has trampled them under His feet. He's removed them as far as the east and the west, and He remembers them no more. Those are the things the Bible says about our sin. Isn't that great? That we can stand before God because we don't have to be ashamed anymore, because He has wiped us clean, and we are white as snow, as the old song says. Jesus paid it all, and He's wiped us, cleaned us, white as snow. And then we talked about that we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that we have an inheritance. We have a place up in heaven reserved for us, and we don't have to worry about somebody taking our spot, but God has reserved that for us. And one day, because we've trusted Jesus Christ, we're going to make it there. And this is the one that we're going to get to today is in verse 3, and this is the fifth benefit. And this is really the one that, in a way, I like the most and I like the least, But it's great, because really we don't like going through trouble, and we don't like going through trials, and we all don't like going through trouble and trials, but that's the way God works on us and works in us and fixes us and kind of cleans us up and makes us into the person He wants us to be. And so look in verse 3 of Romans chapter 5, and He says, and not only that, as if that wasn't enough, these benefits that He gave us, He says, and not only that, we're able to glory in tribulations. In other words, we're able to rejoice in trouble. Tribulation literally means, it's the Greek word thlipsis. It means to be caught between a rock and a hard spot. And, you know, basically what he says here is we're able to rejoice when we go through trouble. And the Bible says that we're going to have trouble because we are believers. And our troubles in life not only allow us to endure trials, but to grow stronger through them. We've talked about that in James, that James says Count it all joy when you go through the various trials. And we'll get to that part in just a minute, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. I mean, think about it. We have that saying, and it's straight out of the Bible, what doesn't kill you does what? Makes you stronger, right? And that's literally what the Bible says, that God works all things together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purposes. Joseph said it like this back in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. He says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save many alive today from Israel." I mean, Joseph went through he was thrown in a pit, he was sold into slavery, he was persecuted by Potiphar's wife, and he was thrown into dungeon because of that, and then he rose to be second command. We've talked about how David ran from Saul from the time he was anointed king to the time he became king was about 12 to 19 years. And I've been telling folks lately that what God was doing was He was beating the Saul out of him. He wouldn't have beaten the tar out of him, He was beating the Saul out of him. Because see, David had the potential to be another Saul. And so what God did was by allowing David to run all those years and to learn to trust in God, he learned not to be that prideful, arrogant person that Saul was. I mean, we think about Daniel. He got thrown in the lion's den because of his faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got thrown into fire. But God was in the fire with them, right? I mean, the king says, "There's one like the Son of God." And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 42, verse 2 and 3, or 43, verse 2 and 3, that He will be with us when we pass through the waters. They will not overflow us. He will be with us when we pass through the fire. It will not burn us, nor will it scorch us. And so God doesn't always get us out of the trouble. But what He does is He goes through the trouble with us. Remember that old Footprints in the Sand poem that somebody wrote years ago? And he said, "Well, God, when the times were the worst, where were you?" And he says, "That's when I carried you, because that one set of footprints was mine. That's when I carried you." And my wife's favorite verse is, she talked about He holds us with His right hand. And I read that this morning, that He holds us up with His right hand. That is how He protects us. He keeps us. And so the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, it says, "Who is he is an overcomer? It is he that believes that Jesus is Christ." And then he goes on to tell us that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And so tribulation produces strength. It produces endurance. I mean, people train to become strong and athletes, and you know, what's the old saying, practice makes perfect? It doesn't. But people practice anyway because they get better, right? Well, see, the more we go through trouble and the more we go through hard times, the better we become, the more we become like God. That's what makes us like God, because those are the things that cause us to depend on Him, to trust in Him, to follow Him. And, you know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Though you've been grieved by the various trials, that the genuineness of your faith may come forth as pure," that may come forth, "and that you may come forth as pure gold." So, first of all, it proves that you're a genuine Christian. And then second of all, it also burns up all the junk out of your life. Because when you put gold into fire, what happens? It just burns up all the junk, right? And all the dross, all the impurities float to the top, or they burn up. And then you can scoop the impurities off the top. Well, you know, that's what God is doing with us as He allows us to go through the trials and the troubles and all those things, is He's burning up all the junk in our life that doesn't look like Him. The goldsmith was asked, "Well, how do you know when the gold is ready?" He says, "When I can look down at the gold and see my face, my reflection in the gold. That's when you know it's pure." And the Bible says in Romans 8:29 that God saved us that we might be conformed to His image. In other words, God wants to look down and see His face reflected back. Isn't that what the Bible says? Let your light so shine. We don't have any light, but we're like the moon. We reflect the, not the S-U-N, but we reflect the S-O-N, the Son of God. And so God wants to look down and see His reflection in us. And even the army and the SEALs and all those folks, they know. They put people through boot camp and all this training and what the SEALs call Hell Week. And they first of all, they're trying to see what these people are made of. And second of all, as they go through that, these people really become who they ought to be. You know, and that's what it says here. It says that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. And if things were easy all the time, we'd never become the people that God wanted us to be. But when we have to depend on Him and trust in Him and see that the things that we're doing in our lives cause problems, or the things that other people cause problems, it allows us to change our character and become more what God wants us to become. That's what it's all about. And then He says, character produces hope. I love this part because, see, when you go through the trials and the troubles, just like David. I mean, you think about David. What did David say? He said, I killed the lion with my bare hand. I killed the bear by the strength of God. And how much more can I kill this uncircumcised Philistine giant? He knew that God had been with him here. And he knew he'd been with him here. And he knew he could face this next circumstance because guess what? God had been with him in all the previous circumstances, right? I mean, that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Azariah, Hananiah, Mishael, that's their Hebrew names. They said, O King, our God can deliver us. And He might deliver us. But even if He does not deliver us, guess what? We're not going to bow down and serve You. See, they had already seen God work in their lives. Remember when Daniel said, well, we won't eat the king's food. We want to eat our Hebrew food. And it says, and God gave Daniel favor with the chief eunuch. Daniel could look back and say, see, God worked in my life. David could look back and say, see, God worked in my life. Abraham could look back and see how God had worked in his life and protected him and took care of him. And I'm sure y'all can look back and see all the areas and all the places where God has worked in your life and He's protected you and He's taken care of you and He's gotten you through this tough time. And you know if He's gotten you through this tough time, He'll get you through the next one. And when you get through that one, when you come to the next one, He'll get you through that one too, right? That's hope. That's what I love about it, is because you know that God will be with you. Paul said it this way. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so this word character means proven character. And this word hope, it means that we can look and we can see that God is doing something in our lives. And we know that because He's worked in the past, He will work in the future. And so Jeremiah 17 verse 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And it will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. You will keep being the person you're supposed to be. You will yield fruit for God. And you don't have to fear when the heat comes, when the trouble comes, because you know you're rooted and grounded in God. And that's the amazing thing, that God loves us, and He takes care of us no matter what we go through. And I hope you'll remember that. No matter how tough life gets, that God never leaves us. God never forsakes us. That's what it says in Hebrews 13:5. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Romans 8:31-39, that great section, He starts out in chapter 8, verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That nobody can hold anything against you, because God is the one that justifies. God is the one that says that you're righteous or not righteous. Then he goes on in 31 to 39 that says, no matter what happens in life, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That God is for us. God is with us. God loves us. God cares for us. And so that's something we have a hard time remembering. When we go through the tough times, we think, well, God, if you really love me, would you allow this in my life? But see, just because he really loves us, he does allow the tough things in our life so that we can become like him and learn to depend on him and trust in him. That's why he allows them. Remember when we talked about Lazarus dying? And the sister said, well, you know, the one you love is sick. And then they're like, well, Jesus, if you've been here, our brother would not have died. They both said the same thing. And they were probably upset because, well, Jesus could have healed him. Jesus could have done something. Even the crowd said, well, if this man had been here, he could have healed him. He could have made him well. But see, Jesus had something greater in mind. He wanted to bring him back from the dead. And we never know what God's doing in our life through our sicknesses and through our trouble and through the hard times we're going through. And so that's why I spend so much time on that. And that one is one that's very important, that we understand that and we get that. And then the next benefit is in verse 5 through 8, he says, we have the love of God poured out in our heart. Look at what he says. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out in our heart. The Bible tells us that we love him because he first loved us. And that he says right here, the love of God has been poured out in our heart. And the reason today, you know, Jesus said to love your enemies and love those who persecute you and mistreat you. And Jesus said you could do that. And the reason we can do that is because God, if we've been saved and forgiven by Jesus Christ, he has put us a new heart in here. And he has made us to where we can love people, even the unlovely. Because why? Because that's what he did for us, right? I mean, really, that's what he did for us, because we were unlovable and unlovely. I know some of y'all are sweet, dear people, but all of us have our moments. I know I do. And, no matter how sweet we are, we have our times, we have our moments where we get mad, we get upset, we get, you know, hard to live with or get along with. And you know, but God wants to come in our lives so that he can change us and we can love people no matter how they treat us, no matter what they do, and we can love everybody, whether they deserve it or not, because that's what the Bible says, that we didn't deserve it, but God loved us while we were yet sinners and enemies, is what it says. For when we were still without strength, it says in verse 6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? That's everybody, right? The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who seeks God, no, not one. There's none who does good, no, not one. That's Romans 3. And I could go on and on, 3:10 through 3:20. It says that over and over and over again. And he says, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So think about that God died for us while we were yet sinners and enemies. We were without strength. We weren't able to help ourselves. We weren't able to do anything. Somebody without strength can't help themselves, can they? And that's what God did for us. Let's look at the next one. He says, also, number 8, I'm going to back up to the last part of verse 5. He says, we have the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Did you know that the Bible says that the moment you trust Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living in you and through you. Over here in the book of Ephesians, Romans 8:9 says, if you have not the Spirit, you don't belong to Him. And Jesus said, John 14, if I go, I will send the Helper, the Comforter, the Paraclete, one just like me who will live in you and through you. And when He said, I'll send you another one just like me, that word another one meant, if I told you I wanted another Bible just like this now, who would want another one just like this, all tore up, messed up? But if I told you I wanted another Bible just like this, it'd have to be tore out, that little thing have to be hanging, and everything else would have to be exactly, couldn't be one detail different. That's what God said about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, He was sending the Holy Spirit another one just like Him. And the Bible tells us over here in Ephesians 1:13, it says, in Him, this is how you get saved. He says, in Him you also trusted. Who'd you trust in? Jesus Christ. After you heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation, that Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That's what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4 says. And He says, in whom also have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That He says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. What does that word sealed mean? It means, first of all, authenticity. They would take a scroll, a parchment, and when it was a legal document, you know how today sometimes you put a notary public on it or you sign it and a notary stamps it. Well, that's a seal, right? Well, in the old days, what they would do is they would wrap up this parchment and they would put wax on it, and they'd take one of those old signet rings or a signet that was on something around their neck, and they would stamp that seal in there, that letter, that whatever their initials were, whatever their seal was, sort of like when people used to brand the cows. And they would stamp that seal in there, and as long as that seal wasn't broken, that wax wasn't broken, you knew that that was an authentic document, that it was the real thing. And when you got the Holy Spirit, that proves that you're the real thing, that you're a true Christian, that you belong to God. It proves also, secondly, ownership, that God owns us. We belong to Him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that, do you not know that you're not your own, but you were bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then He tells us also it means security. Because see, when we know that that document's been sealed, it hasn't been tampered with, we know that it's been secure. And see, when the Holy Spirit lives in you, you know that you belong to God, and nobody can do anything about that. I'm going to show you that a little bit more in just a second. But it means authenticity, it means security, it means you're the real thing, it means ownership, and it also means authority. The person that sealed it had the right to do that, right? The person that owns us now has the right to seal us and protect us and secure us, because we belong to God now. And so He says, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, some of y'all have the King James Version, the old King James Version. It says it is the earnest or the down payment of the promise or the down payment, the guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. See, He bought us when He died on that cross. He paid for us with His blood. And what it says here is that guarantee, it means one thing, it means engagement ring. It means down payment, earnest money. And what God is saying here is in Ephesians 5, where He tells us that the church is the bride of Christ, that we are His bride. And one day He's coming back to get us, right? Well, guess what? A man might give a woman a ring and promise her, I'll marry you. But he might lie, and he might want his ring back, or he might just run off somewhere, right? But see, God has given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as an engagement ring, as a promise. that one day He's coming back to get us. And He's promised that God cannot lie. It says in Hebrews that God promised by two immutable things. He promised by Himself, and He cannot lie. And so folks, think about that. One day God's coming back to get us. And because He's given us the Holy Spirit of promise, that one day He will be back for us. And so today, let's just quit right there. Maybe we'll finish up next week or on the Christmas Eve service. But I just want you to understand that how much God loves us. These are benefits. Like I said, I like to sing the old song, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. There's about 1,000,001. And that doesn't even begin to count the number of blessings that God has really given us. 1,000,001 doesn't even begin to count the amount of blessings that He's given us. And so we are to be thankful for what He's done for us, what He's given us. And if you don't know Christ, I think mostly everybody here does. But if you don't, ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to come into your life and forgive you. And trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, if you're saved, you can be thankful for all the wonderful things He's done for you. And not only all the wonderful things He's done for you, but all the wonderful things He's going to do for you. Not only here on earth, but one day in heaven. Because, you know, we're getting to Christmas and everybody thinks Christmas is about getting gifts and giving gifts and all these things. But it's not, is it? It's about the greatest gift of all, that Jesus so loved the world that He gave. That's that gift, right? We sang that in this song. One of the songs, we were singing the Christmas songs. I'm trying to remember which one it was. But there it is. In O Little Town of Bethlehem, He says, how silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. And He says, no ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. And that's the blessing He gives us, is we don't deserve heaven. None of us do. No matter how sweet we are. But, you know, even the worst sinner can be forgiven and saved because of the fact that Jesus died for us all. And He gives us the free gift. So let's pray today. And as we finish, we'll sing number 71, Amazing Grace. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You for who You are. And we ask today that You would help us to understand how great this gift is that You've given us, how much it cost You, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, His one and only, unique, one-of-a-kind, beloved Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. We thank You for the blessings. We thank You for eternal life. We thank You that we get to celebrate Jesus this Christmas because of His love for us. We thank You for all the blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, or in a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction,
to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free. And these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.